as a result of an UDL tool.
The other day, 2 days before Pesach, I asked my dad if he was afraid to die. And without hesitation, he said no. I asked him if he believed in anything on the other side. Again, no. I told him I did, and I asked him if he wanted to hear a rabbinic story that describes what happens on the other side. He nodded. So I told him the story of the man who dies, and he goes to that place, and he meets God. And God tells him that he's the kind of guy that could go either way. He could go to the good place, he could go to the bad place. And he asked the man, which one do you want to see first? And he said, show me the bad place first. So God takes him to this palace. It's a great hall. Sunny chandeliers, there's wood-carved walls. There's an enormous table in the middle of the room, overflowing with sumptuous food and every drink a person could want. It's incredible. And he thinks to himself, this is the bad place? And then he looks at the people seated around the table, and he notices they're emaciated. They're not eating. They're not drinking. He can't figure it out until he notices that their arms are stiff. They can't bend. They can't eat. He tells God, get me out of here. So God takes him to the good place. The man is so confused. But the place is identical to the first. Same style, same food, same drink overflowing. So he quickly glances at the people's arms, and again, they're stiff. They're lost. But there's laughter. People are plump. They're happy. Because in this place, they see each other. And I told my dad, this is the place you're going to go. Because people who live their lives giving to other people and taking care of others, they know what to do when the arms are lost. He was that kind of a person. Our dad always saw the glass as more than half full. He was overflowing. And I love that about him. My dad has 2 gay grandchildren. Not something that his generation had practiced dealing with. But for him, it was a non-issue. His complete acceptance and love didn't go unappreciated. One day, our son Ben was just saying that he felt grateful that all 3 of his grandparents were okay with his being gay. He knew that not everybody could say that. So I called my folks just to tell them. My dad answered. Clearly, my mom's not home. So I told him how much Ben appreciated that it wasn't a given that this part of who he is could be so easily accepted. Without skipping a beat, he said, if a person can't be who they're meant to be in this world, what's the point? I love that about him. On one of my trips to Seattle, when my dad was sick, it was Christmas time. My dad couldn't wake up early anymore, and so he told me, if you're going to be up early already, God forbid he should ask me or any one of us to do anything for him just for him. If I could wash the garbage collectors, he'd give him a check for Christmas. When I went out to catch one of these guys, the guy told me, you know, your dad is doing something. He never forgets us. And he thanked me. And then he put the empty garbage can back to the side of the house. I don't think they do that for everyone. But my dad just wasn't anyone. And I love that about him. My dad, as you know, as you've already heard, invented customer service. You could think it was Nordstrom's, and you young people could think it was Apple, but it was Moni's. Each person who came into his store was greeted when they walked in, and they left with a joke or some comment intended to draw a smile. He wasn't just in business to make a living, but to make a life. And for my dad, that meant leaving the world better than he found it. They're very connecting with people because each person has value, each person has a story, and he wants to know it. I think it was Churchill who said, you make a living by what you make a life by what you give. My dad was a giver. He wasn't a taker. You all know, and others in my family have already said, that he had this incredible democratic spirit. Not much of who he was. And I love that he called income tax luxury tax. To him, it was not a given that you had a job that could afford you a comfortable life. For him, that was a privilege not to be taken for granted. It was a luxury. And for that, you're lucky enough to give, to contribute to the greater whole. And I love that about him. I remember a story he told me about a wealthy woman. She was a regular at his store. And she would steal really expensive items. She put them in her coat and her purse. She didn't take them. He let it go for a while, and then he decided to talk with her sons about it. He didn't turn her in, but he explained that he really couldn't afford their mother's habits. The sons rightly said, "Just notice it, make a list, we'll pay you." He must have told me that story 40 years ago. I love it, because it's a story of his protecting the dignity of others. And I love that about him. Judaism was also very important to my dad. When he took his first dose of chemo, he said the Shehecheyanu blessing, thanking God for bringing him to this moment. Can you believe that? He wanted to mark it in the Jewish way. And just a little over a week ago, as he was asked to be taken from bed in a wheelchair to join us at the Seder, he ate matzah. He hadn't eaten bread, crackers, and months, nothing dry. And in fact, at that point, he wasn't really eating much of anything. But he didn't want to pass on the mitzvah of Pesach. In January, our whole family was together, and we knew how sick he was. He had no appetite, but he wanted to take us all out to dinner, no less. That was his worst meal of the day. And I thought, how's he going to manage it? So I asked him, and I suggested, let's just do brunch. No, it's going to be great, he said. We're going to have drinks, it's going to be wonderful. And we did, and he did. And he even ate his whole meal. I don't know how. It was unheard of. And he toasted all of us. And though we were all sobbing, he kept it in, also unheard of. And he wished us good health and good lives. Honestly, I was trying too hard to remember what else he said. I regret that. But I know that his wishes were that we live meaningful lives, that we take care of ourselves and each other and the world, that we enjoy every bit of this incredible world we're fortunate enough to have been born into. And Pirkei Avot, it says, who is rich? A person who's happy with life. And who is honored? One who honors others. My dad is that person, rich and honored. May his legacy of dignity, generosity, caring for others, and exuberance for life be a blessing for us all.